Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
It is such an honor to be here this morning. And I have to tell you, it's also a little bit intimidating because you've got Richard, you've got Pastor Paul, Jerutha singing up in here. And I have to tell you, it takes the call of God to get me to stand on a platform with such anointed people. But I'm not here because I'm all that or that I'm a great speaker. I'm here because I have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has transformed my life. And so I come in His name and on His credentials. So in that, I can be confident. Praise God. We want to especially honor mothers this morning. They shape generations of young people, and what you do is of inestimable value. Now, I know our culture doesn't really see it that way so much anymore. In fact, there was an effort to quantify the value of mothers recently, and they put a figure of $65,000 on it. Really? Clearly, whoever did the research has no idea what mothers actually do, because what you do is priceless. Now, I recognize that in a room this size with this many people, there are some women who look at themselves as mothers and they're disappointed. They didn't do as well as they would have liked. Maybe some mothers are grieving the loss of children or grieving the fact that their sons or daughters are not walking with the Lord. And there are some who have longed for motherhood and God has withheld that from them, at least for this season and maybe for a lifetime. So this morning I want to talk to you about what God's purpose is for every woman in this room. And if I was honest, it also applies to every man in this room. But God has a purpose for us for fruitfulness. There's something very painful about the word barren. That's not what God has in store for you. There's a lot going on in the world today. And we're tempted perhaps to doubt the sovereignty of God. We know His heart, but sometimes it's difficult to trace His hand and see the goodness of the Lord. But God is at work in each one of us, and He describes that work in a very distinct way in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus describes Himself as the vine, and He describes the work of God as the vine dresser. I didn't really appreciate so much what that meant until I looked into what a vine dresser does. I find it interesting that Jesus describes God the Father's work as that of a vine dresser rather than a gardener. There's some significant differences between the two. The vine dresser is a hands-on, long-term prospect that requires commitment. A vineyard is the result of careful management rather than random scattering of seeds. Now, I love to garden. I refer to myself as a gardener, but spring flowers require a fall commitment. And the truth is, sadly, my reputation as a gardener falls short of what I would like to be. I have a laurel hedge in our backyard. It's completely out of control. It's taken up maybe a third of the yard. I also have a wisteria plant with a trunk the size of a redwood. It just keeps growing, but it requires careful attention on a regular basis throughout the spring in order to manage those two shrubs. So my reputation as a gardener is somewhat lacking. The truth is, we reap what we sow. But that's also true with regard to God's work in us. When we abide in the vine, He reaps a harvest in us. Now, I may not be a very good gardener, but God is a masterful vine dresser. And I want to talk about the fruitfulness that God has in mind for every woman in this room who is abiding in the vine. A vineyard requires a vine dresser, a long-term commitment, a careful planner, hands-on tending. God is not distant, He's not a bystander, and He's not remote. He is at work in every season of our lives to produce a harvest. Now I'm talking about what God does in us. Trust Him. Because God is at work at this very moment. God is calling us to fruitfulness. Now, God is always at work in and through us when we are abiding in the vine. He commits himself to conforming us to the image of his Son and to completing the work that he began in us, that we might bear fruit. He is the vine, we are the branches. But the path to fruitfulness has many twists and turns and challenges. We abide in the vine, we will produce fruit. Fruit that remains, that doesn't wither on the vine and gives life. That is what we are called to do, tended by the wise heart and the loving hand of God. Galatians 5:22 describes that luscious, life-giving fruit that he promises to give us when we abide in the vine. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Some translations use the word long-suffering, and if you're a mother, that probably is the right word for you. Another word would be patience, which also applies. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, who wouldn't want that fruit born in their life? Let me repeat them. Love, the capacity to love the unlovely when it's difficult, even loving our enemies. Joy, peace. You read the newspaper, you hear the news, and yet you have peace that surpasses all understanding. Patience, whether you're sitting in your car or you're sitting somewhere else, it requires more patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And doesn't our culture need self-control? Can we demonstrate that for the culture? That is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something we muster up on our own. That is the gift of God through his Spirit when we abide in the vine. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5 say this. And just imagine, these were words uttered by Jesus himself. Now, my voice falls far short of the lovely, authoritative voice of Jesus, but these are his words. I am the true vine, describing himself, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because the word which I have spoken to you, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And what he's referring to, you can do nothing of eternal value, nothing that will last apart from abiding in the vine. Now, Jesus uses the picture of a vineyard as a metaphor for the life of the believer. And he teaches us how he operates in us. This is what we can expect God to do when we are abiding in the vine. There's no question about it. It's not uncertain. This is a certainty with regard to God's commitment and character toward us. And did you know that some of the finest vineyards grow in some of the most harsh conditions imaginable? In fact, a desert can be a wonderful place for a vineyard. Isaiah 35:2 says, "The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel's pastures and the plain of Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God." God is going to bring forth fruit that will give him glory and display his splendor when we are abiding in the vine. So let's look at what it takes to bear fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, because I'm guessing that each of us would agree we want to be fruitful in our life in Christ. Now, before planting, the grower or the vine dresser considers the soil. He considers the length of the season, the weather conditions, the fertility and drainage, the topography, the sun exposure, and even the pests who are likely to come to challenge his work. The process requires a real familiarity, an intimate knowledge of the subject. God is not random, he's not cavalier, he's not remote, he is deliberate and always moves with intention and purpose. That is God's commitment to you. Have you ever wondered about the soil that you were planted in? Why God allowed you to grow up where you did, or to work where you work, or why he placed you in the city that you're in? Once again, we have the dubious distinction of being a residence of the least churched city in the country. I so love Psalm 139 because it tells us that God, again, is intentional, even in placing us where we are today. In Psalm 139, it says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are written, the days fashioned for me." That's one of my favorite lines in Scripture. There are days that are fashioned for me by God. When I am yet unformed, God had a purpose and a plan for my life. When as yet there were none of them, he had fashioned days for me. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they should be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. God is with us. That's Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. Jesus says, "My Father is the vine dresser," in the 15th chapter of John. God himself, he has allowed you to be planted at this time and in this place for his good purpose. You are right where you need to be to bear fruit. Will you trust him for this? Can you believe that God could bear fruit in your life at this time, in this season, where you are right now? I know sometimes the young mother thinks as soon as the kids are in school, or perhaps the elderly person thinks, well, my time has run out, or the young person thinks, if I just get a little bit older. But God has a purpose and a plan for fruitfulness for your life right now. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that happens is good. There are bad things that happen, either things that are the result of our own sin or others sinning against us. But it does say that God is committed to working all those things together, the good and the bad, for your good. I don't understand it. I don't know how he does it, but I know that it's true, and he does it. He has committed himself to it. What a tremendous blessing we have. Looking back, you might question his wisdom, but the keeper of the vineyard knows how to bring forth fruit in any soil, including the soil that you are planted in at this very moment. He makes no mistakes in his planting, and he placed you for maximum fruitfulness. Will you trust him for this? Having planted, the vine dresser then begins the long process of bringing each branch to maturity for one purpose, and that is to bring forth fruit. That promise reflects his commitment not just to plant, but to prune, to tend, and ultimately to reap a harvest. He knows the soil that your life is planted in. He knows what season it is. He knows what season comes next. And he knows how to bring the most and best from you in your current condition. He has taken every circumstance into account, your strengths, your weaknesses, your triumphs and your failures, even your most profound regrets. God's purpose and plan for your life, regardless of what happened yesterday, is to bring maximum fruitfulness. Now, healthy growth occurs in seasons. At the end of the growing season, the branches of the fruit vine are tended in order to produce fruit for the coming season. Be patient, because God is not through with you yet. Perhaps you feel that you have already lived a fruitful life, and perhaps that has come to an end for you, but God brings fruitfulness to us in seasons. God is not through with you yet. Now, if these branches were left alone, these offshoots, they can produce clusters of small but inconsequential fruit. But when God wants to bring the best fruit from our lives, it requires pruning. The vine dresser knows that leaving a branch alone does not produce a harvest. And that's his intention for you. The question for us is, what sort of harvest are you preparing to produce? When we submit to God, he can transform what otherwise would be a showy display of undisciplined branches into an abundant, useful harvest. What kind of harvest are you preparing to produce? Is Jesus just someone that you call on when you have a need, or are you intimately acquainted with, in deep relationship with the Lord? Fruitful branches, those that are being prepared for maximum fruitfulness, are severely pruned, but they're pruned with surgical accuracy, which is part of God's work in us. He sometimes has to prune back our activities. But Lord, I really enjoyed doing that. Sometimes he has to prune back our self-seeking interests. But people admired me when I did that. Life-sapping detours. Anything that keeps us from pursuing our one great purpose in life, to bear the fruit of the Spirit. God has told us that he wants to give us a fruit that will last and not wither on the vine. He writes, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." We need to be abiding in the vine. Again, that's from chapter 15 of John, verse 16. Now, if you want to know God's plan for your life, or rather, as one of my friends reminds me, plans for your life, here it is. It's that you would bear fruit and that your fruit would remain and that it would have eternal value. Surveys indicate that one of the things that people in general want more than anything else is they want their life to be significant. They want to make a difference. They want to have purpose in life. Well, for those of us who are in Christ and abiding in the vine, there's no question that God has purpose for us, that we would bear fruit that would remain. Now, if you're going through a time of pruning, a time of deep loss or wounding, may I be so bold as to say, rejoice. God is at work and will accomplish some deep and necessary things to bring forth a harvest. So what does God ask us to do during these times of severe pruning? How should we respond? God is calling us to surrender, to submit, in the same way that Jesus did, the Son of God, who didn't consider his equality with God a thing to be grasped, but humbled himself to the point of death, even death on the cross. And he is asking us to do as he did. He knows the difficulty that we face. But he wants us to yield a harvest to be fruitful. He asks us to do as he did. And we can do that with the knowledge that he has our highest good and our deepest joy in mind. When God prunes, expect more fruit. God is preparing us for a harvest. Now, after the pruning, every remaining cane has to be tied to a support so that sunlight can penetrate every cluster of grapes. You just don't let the branches hang. They have to be tethered to a support. Now, if you're tied down by circumstances out of your control, maybe you're in the midst of motherhood as a young woman, you're in your old age, you're facing a disability, you're caregiving, you're a young person, rejoice because God is preparing you to bear fruit. Now, you might say, well, I can't go where I want to go. I can't do what I want to do. Well, let's consider the Apostle John. The Apostle John might have felt tied down after he promised Jesus at the foot of the cross on that Good Friday that he would look after the Lord's mother, Mary. The other disciples, they would go on to do really great things for God. He, on the other hand, was reduced to being a caregiver. Now, what can you do if you're caring for someone else and can't really do what you want to do and you have other responsibilities? Well, take Peter, for example. Peter, who had publicly denied Christ 3 times. After Jesus' ascension, well, Peter, he led 5,000 to the Lord and opened the way of eternal life to the Gentiles. Now, that Peter, he was a mover and a shaker. John, he was a caregiver. Or Paul. Now, Paul hadn't even known Jesus during his earthly ministry. He had been the chief persecutor of the church, and yet he was carrying the gospel to Turkey, to Greece, the westward frontiers, and meanwhile, ever faithful John was taking care of another man's mother. He was tied down. What fruitfulness could come from that circumstance? Well, you might recall John did write a record of the Lord's life and ministry sometime during those years, but little did he know that millions would come to know the Lord Jesus through one sentence, just one sentence that he penned near the beginning of that account in the Gospel of John. "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." John 3:16, written by a man who is tethered to another man's mother as a caregiver. Sometimes God has to tie us up in order to bring forth maximum fruitfulness. But do not imagine for a moment that God has sidelined or abandoned you and fruitfulness is no longer a possibility. A great harvest has been born of that simple statement penned by a caregiver tied down to another man's mother. And in his old age, this same John, tied down in exile to a lonely, desolate island called Patmos, John saw the glorified Christ and an astonishing vision of the future triumphal reign of Jesus over sorrow, death, and sin. He had learned to cope with that kind of loneliness and exile, perhaps as a caregiver. God equipped him then for what he would see in the future. God even has purpose when you are being tied down. Take heart. A harvest is coming. Now, we're impatient in the 21st century. We're Americans. When the computer doesn't come on fast enough to do things that future generations could not have dreamed of, we are upset. When we have to stop for a red light for, what, 2-3 minutes to get to halfway across town that would have taken our forebears hours, if not days, we are put out. Take heart. A harvest is coming in God's time and in his season. It may seem unlikely, it may seem implausible or even impossible, but God ties his vines to great effect. A harvest beyond imagining. Can you trust him for this? It's not a rhetorical question. Can you, will you trust him for this? Consider this. The Lord of the harvest, the vine dresser, sees life breaking forth in his vineyard. Sap has risen in the vine. Out of the rough and twisted old branch, tiny shoots of the bud emerge. The leaves, stems, and clusters can be seen in miniature. The persistent power of new life flows. As the vine pushes sap out to the branches, even now, there is fruit on the vine. At the point when you feel like it's time to give up, or surely God has forgotten me, life is surging from the vine into the branches. John 15, verse 4 says this, "Abide in me and I in you." What a picture of the miracle of new life God is performing in us every day. His life in us producing the fruit of his character, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the Christian life is not a do-it-yourself life. Now, obviously, the Bible is a manual to help us know how to walk, but the Christian life essentially is not a do-it-yourself life. He is not simply a companion who walks alongside us. It's not simply that we have believed certain wonderful facts that Christ died for our sins. It is that, but it is much more. A miracle is being performed in us at this very moment. And in the moment you go to your vehicles, at the moment you sit at your desk, a miracle is being performed in us. This is God's word to us in Jesus' own words, what the vine dresser is doing to bring forth the harvest. There is no branch too ordinary, too warped, that his indwelling life can't produce buds radiant with beauty and promise, with life. Now that applies to you. I don't know what your circumstances are, or perhaps you've already imagined, this cannot apply to me because I've disappointed God too much. This is his promise in his word to you. Fruit bearing is not about the branch. It's not about us. It is about the vine. Fruit bearing is about Christ's life in us. And when we abide in the vine, he says, this is what will happen. Not what might happen or what we hope will happen. When we abide in the vine, he has committed himself to bringing forth the harvest and fruitfulness. We can't make ourselves bud. All we can do is what the bride in Song of Solomon did. Ask and keep asking the Lord, draw me after you. Lord, draw me after you. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4. He calls it abiding. We are to abide in him and he in us. Abiding in Christ is depending on him for everything with confidence, knowing that he will hold us. He will cherish us and take responsibility for producing fruit. With the spring growth, the vine dresser looks out at the vineyard and the vineyard looks beautiful. The life of the vine keeps pushing its way through the branch and the cane in full force. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit keeps surging through us in full force as we yield to him. Now it's 2 months after the bud breaks. That's when the flower begins to appear. Now, this season is brief, but it is beautiful. The blossoms are white and delicate and beautiful. The soft spring wind carries a sweet fragrance, and we are tempted to stay right there. It's lush and pleasant. Oh. It's tempting to mistake this pleasant display for an end to the growth process. God may give us a brief respite, but the vine dresser is not finished. The flowering falls short of the fruitfulness. We might be content to settle for this show rather than the longed for fruit of the abiding in the vine that eventually brings forth a harvest. But the fruit follows the flower. Persevere. Trust him. The sole purpose of the vine and the branches is to produce the fruit of the vine, the fruit of the Spirit. Don't settle for less. Well, after the plants have been pruned and tied and the blossoms have come and gone, then the grapes are set in miniature. Now, many believers stop right there. There's a little bit of fruit. It's not useful for anything, but it's fruit nonetheless. It's then that the grower sees the potential for a great harvest. Now, do we want to settle for a little bit of fruit? It's showy, but it doesn't really serve any purpose. Or do we want to be a part of the rich, great harvest that God has in mind? When God works in you, he not only sees the bud and the flower, he sees the harvest. He knows your full potential in him. Now, you might have disqualified yourself thinking, well, I'm not gifted in this way, or I can't do what he does, or I don't have this. But God sees the full potential that he himself invested in you before time began. He sees the fruit in the flower. He sees the harvest. He sees his plan and your purpose. Now, you may feel too weak or ordinary to produce much fruit, but the great secret of abiding in the vine and being fruitful is the life-giving Spirit of Christ in you, accepting your weakness and receiving his power. A harvest is coming. A harvest is coming. Now, we don't leap from springtime to harvest in the vineyard, nor do we in life. Will you trust him for this? The vine dresser is at work, and your season is coming. Now, vineyards require an abundance of sunlight and heat in order to mature the fruit, because heat transforms immature grapes into mature, ripe, sweet, luscious, life-giving fruit. Day by day, as the summer comes, the sun moves higher in the sky and the days grow longer. These are the days of stress in the vineyard. Remember back then when there was flowers and the spring breeze? Oh, that was so pleasant. I just kind of longed to go, and the leaves kind of protect you from the sunlight. But that falls short of fruitfulness. In the days of stress, the roots come under attack. There are burrowing intruders who come to consume and destroy. This is the enemy of fruitfulness. The leaves come under attack. There are grubs and insects and mites burrowing and sapping the energy and the strength from the plant, and they're challenging its ability to finish well. How many of us fall short of finishing well when the stress comes? As the fruit begins to ripen, the grapes come under relentless assault from raccoons, possums, birds, all kinds of predators. They take their toll, but paradoxically, this season of attack is when the fruit is formed. But for the vine dresser, we would wither in this season of stress. These are the days when all that we know about the wonderful indwelling life of Christ is put to the test. Have you had those days? This is the season when we learn what it means to draw upon him as never before, and the genuineness and depth of our faith is exposed. God is doing us a great favor when he exposes the true content of our faith. It's here that we learn to call upon Christ's life within us to produce what we could never produce on our own. This is the season that tests our faith, but the harvest is coming. I might remind you, Galatians 5:22 tells us what we are looking forward to: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. God is preparing for us to bear fruit. Well, in the mature vine, the leaf canopy, it grows dense and lush, and it really is quite beautiful. And when it looks like the fruit might have some relief from the stress I mentioned earlier, the vine dresser comes along and he tears off the leaves, exposing the mature fruit. Really? Can't we just have fruit and be on with it? Well, exposed, when the grapes are exposed, that's when the growth in the fruit explodes. This is the hands-on work of the vine dresser, committed to tending what belongs to him and to keeping his promise to produce a harvest. God is at work. It's not random. He has a purpose, and he is preparing you for maximum fruitfulness. And so God is with us. His hands are on us. They tend the weaker tendril and the tender shoot. The vine dresser, God himself, comes often in the midst of these long, hot days of summer to do his work. Will you trust him for this? In the times of stress. For the grapes that are to be used for the finest purposes. And again, you can produce some fruit early on. But when you're talking about a harvest, fruit that brings nourishment and life, and the world desperately needs the fruit of the Spirit born in us, given to them in the name of Jesus. For the grapes that are to be used for the finest purposes, the grower takes just one more step. He does the thing least expected, and he withholds water, putting the vines under even greater stress. Now, why would he do that? You've already had to deal with the sun and the pests and the canopy of the leaves protecting you from the sun. Why would he do that? Well, when the water stops, the roots sense the lack of water and they send all of the energy to the shoots so that they'll stop growing. You don't want any more shoots, new shoots that produce nothing but foliage and branches. This brings forth life-giving fruit. The energy of the vine now shifts away from growing to maturity. Do you want to mature in your faith? Sometimes God takes us through a season where it seems like we're in the desert. But God is producing a harvest of mature, ripe fruit. Has the Lord allowed an unusual amount of stress in your life? Do you feel overwhelmed? The stressed vine produces the finest grapes with a taste and rich aroma that's so highly valued. And it is the aroma of Christ that will attract others to you. This is the kind of fruit that he is producing in you when you abide in the vine and submit to the work of the vine dresser. He doesn't just put a seed in the ground and walk away. God is at work, hands-on, tending over long seasons in order to bring forth the harvest. Never forget that the Lord Jesus knows all about you, what you are going through. He knows stress. He knows loneliness. He himself has been there. He endured the cross. He had despised the shame. But for the joy set before him, he endured. And he calls us to do as he did, to endure. A harvest is coming. Keep your mind on the joy of enduring hardship for the sake of fruitfulness. Hebrews 12:2 says, "He who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." God has eternal purpose in his work in us in bearing fruit. Your perseverance under suffering will also bring reward and a joy beyond imagining. Don't be discouraged. Even your weakness will cause you to draw from his indwelling, life-giving, transforming presence. You are on the verge of fruitfulness. Well, during the final weeks of this season, the grapes soften, they change color. Monitoring for ripeness now takes place on a daily basis. God is near. He's not off in the distance in another field. He is tending to his vineyard. The vine is making interior changes in this final stage. Interior changes in the fruit. It's becoming sweet and the luscious taste that is so prized. God is going deep in your character as well to make similar interior changes to conform you into the image of Christ. Too many of us stop early and our fruit is of little value. Finally comes the harvest. Celebration breaks out in the vineyard. All the vigilance, all of the long, hard work has been worth it. The vines may be sagging with the weight of the fruit they're producing. The remaining leaves may be dusty and wilted. The vineyard may look bedraggled, but there are gorgeous clusters of life-giving fruit. God has produced a harvest. Harvest not only speaks to the fruit of the Spirit, but it also speaks to the fruit of your service. How God rejoices over your faithfulness. He chose this for us before the foundation of the world. Praise God. We are women of purpose. We are women that God has a plan for. Now, you may feel certain that no harvest could possibly come from your life. Not now. Not after what I've done. Not in my old age or in my confinement. Not in my youth. But the harvest does not depend on what I am, but rather who He is. A new season is coming, and the vine dresser is preparing for the next harvest. Are you abiding in the vine? Are you positioned for fruitfulness? Abide in me, and I in you, Jesus says. As the branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for your word, in which you tell us that God is at work. Despite how we feel, despite how things look, God is at work. And he has brought everything to the vineyard necessary to produce fruit. Father, I pray that you would help each of us to examine our hearts. Are we abiding in the vine? Is our Christian faith just something that has very little impact on our day-to-day living? Do we spend time in your word and in prayer? Is the power of the Holy Spirit surging through us? Lord, help us to see more clearly what you are calling us to do and to move forward with confidence that you are producing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, when we abide in you. I pray especially for the mothers here this morning. Lord, you have given them the capacity to bear children. I pray that you would also give them the vision to bear fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. I pray for every woman here who longs to be a mother and isn't. Those whose children have disappointed them. I pray that you'd bring a special encouragement and vision for the plan you have, the plans you have for them. Be glorified in us. Bear fruit in us. Give us a vision for the harvest that you intend through us. We thank you, Lord. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus, the name above every other name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.